Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the Gospel reading from St. Luke, the 8th chapter. The congregation may be seated. You probably heard that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's a pretty good description of most of Jesus' parables, especially today's parable about the sower and his seed. Here our Lord uses a very common Palestinian image of a farmer going out seeding his fields with grain. Jesus uses that illustration to teach us something about the kingdom of heaven. And since Jesus is the kingdom of heaven, his parables teach us about Jesus. This parable is one of my favorite parables. It's one of my favorites because of its beauty and its simplicity. It's easy to remember, and it expresses these truths simply but in such a profound way. Teaching us about Christ and his word and the kingdom, and also because Jesus interprets the parable for us. And furthermore, I find this to be a comforting parable as a pastor because it helps me better understand the ministry of preaching the gospel. Despite a pastor's best efforts, there are people who reject the word of God without giving it a moment's thought. Then there are people who are excited about the gospel and Jesus and the church, but their enthusiasm lasts for only a moment. It's a flash in the pan. Then there are people who appear to be strong Christians, who appear to understand love and forgiveness. But then something happens, something to offend them, something that bothers them, and they leave the church, unwilling to be reconciled. But then there are people who get wrapped up in school or work or recreation and no longer make time for God, and they fall away. That's kind of the focus that we take when we read this parable. But this parable isn't so much about the different types of soil as it is about the power of the seed to change the soil. This parable is about how the gospel changes hearts and ears from unhearing and unbelieving to hearing and believing. Now, the sowing of seed was a common practice in Palestine. Fields would have been small, and they would have been surrounded by pathways or roads. There would have been no fences. Sometimes the paths would have gone right through the middle of the field. And often the fields weren't plowed. The sower would just throw his seed on the ground. Now, a good sower would know his field, and he certainly would take care not to cast his seed on the pathways or in the rocks or where he knew there would be thorns. But the sower in this parable seems to be rather reckless with his grain. He's content to sow his seed everywhere, even on the hard-packed roads. Well, if you've ever planted grass seed, you know you have to put down some kind of straw or mulch, because what the birds see, the birds will eat. So in the parable, the seed that falls on the hard-packed road has no chance to germinate because the birds immediately eat it up. Now the seed that fell on the rocky ground took root immediately because the rocky ground tends to be shallow. When the sun hits it, it warms up quickly. The seed that is warmed will germinate more quickly. But it's rocky. The roots can't get deep enough to reach the moisture. So as soon as the sun becomes hot, the sprouts wither and die. Now, according to all the horticulturists I've ever known, a weed is defined as a plant growing where you don't want it to grow. So grass in your lawn is great. Grass in your garden just becomes another moisture-robbing weed. Well, we define weeds in that way. Thorns and thistles are weeds, opportunistic weeds. Growing up in the West, we know all about the Russian thistle, better known as the tumbleweed. What would the West be like without the tumbling tumbleweed? But these kind of weeds, they They grow quickly. They send their roots out broadly to monopolize all the moisture in the soil. And then they have this big canopy that shades the soil so nothing else can grow. So in the parable, the weeds do what weeds do. They grow quickly. And eventually they choke off the good seed as it tries to sprout and grow. And some of the sower seed fell on good soil. Soil that was far from the beaten path. Soil that was deep and rich in moisture, free of rocks and thorns. This good soil produced a rich crop. Jesus said 100-fold. That's an amazing crop. One grain producing 100 seeds. In Palestine, in ancient Palestine, you could probably get 10 to 20 grains of seed from each seed you planted. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the beauty of this parable is that Jesus teaches us the meaning of the parable. He tells us that the seed is the word of God, which means that the sowing of the seed then is the preaching of the word of God. And really, who is the sower but Jesus himself? The fact that Jesus sows the word everywhere is a sign of God's grace. The gospel is for everyone, is to be preached to everyone. For Jesus died on the cross for everyone, for God so loved the world. Unlike a farmer who carefully sows his seed, trying to get the best bang for the buck, a preacher of the gospel preaches the gospel recklessly. Efficiency and cost effectiveness are out of the question. Judging the efficacy of who should receive the word and who should not is out of the question. The seed is cast. The word is preached. It is intended for every ear to hear. And so, of course, then the soil refers to those who hear the gospel. Now, many people, after hearing the gospel of salvation, Jesus Christ, reject it immediately. When Paul preached the word of God to the philosophers of Athens on Mars Hill, most of them outrightly mocked Paul, and only a small handful became believers. The devil snatched the word of God from them before it had a chance to germinate and give birth to faith. Then there are those people who receive the word with excitement and enthusiasm. They're on fire for Jesus. But after a short time, they fall away because emotions are fickle and temporary. Once they encounter something difficult in Scripture or something offends them, or they face trials and tribulations that all Christians normally face, their enthusiasm for Jesus dies a quick death, and off they go back to their old ways of life. Still others receive the word of God and grow in faith for a time. But sooner or later, the worries of life or the pleasures of life or the deceitfulness of wealth and security choke the word of God from them. Like the thorns and thistles choke the life out of the good plants. And that's exactly what the culture in which we live does. It's a choking kind of culture. It chokes the life out of the Christian through the siren call of leisure and wealth and sinful vices, and through the persecution and ridicule of anyone who doesn't go with the flow. But finally, there are those who hear the word and receive it not only with joy, but also with an endurance of faith and a depth of love. The word is rooted deeply in them and produces an extraordinary crop. A crop of praise and thanksgiving for God. A crop of good works for the neighbor, all done to the glory of God. So what is Jesus looking for when his word is sown? What does Jesus expect when his word is preached? Well, here's a hint. The angels rejoice when one sinner repents. The hundredfold crop Jesus expects is repentance, sorrow over sin, contrition, and trust in Christ for forgiveness. And then in keeping with repentance, good works. The hard-packed soil is that heart that steadfastly refuses to repent. The rocky soil is the heart that repents until things get a little bit difficult. The thorny soil is the heart that repents until something better comes along. The good soil is the heart that produces what Jesus expects. Repentance and the fruits in keeping with repentance. Good works done in love and glory of God. Now, we like to all think that we're the good soil, right? But the truth is, each one of us is at one time or another all four kinds of soil. We're hard-packed, hard-hearted. We're rocky and thorny, shallow in our faith and love. But we're also the good soil. The evidence of this is in your own life with Christ. Think about this. Were any of you born believers in Jesus? No, quite the opposite. All of us were born dead in our sins and trespasses. We were all born enemies of God. We were all born hard-packed soil. When God's word first came to you, whether it was in your baptism or in the preaching of the gospel, it had to change you. It had to change you from hard and unbelieving into believing, from unwilling to hear to hearing. The word is what changed you into good soil. It made you a believer. That is the power of God's word. Like Paul said, the gospel is the power of salvation for all who believe. And we confess then with Luther, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. It's quite the opposite when you're a farmer. You know that it's the soil that changes the seed. When you plant the seed, the bacteria in the soil cause the seed to decay and break down. And as it does that, then it begins to germinate and become a new plant. But the Word of God is the kind of seed that changes the soil. Your response to the Word of God is not of your own doing. It is the power of God at work in you, changing you, turning you into that rich, fertile soil that produces a hundredfold. But even as believers, sometimes we're the kind of soil that's enthusiastic about the gospel for a little while. But then when trouble hits, maybe we're offended by a fellow Christian in the church, or maybe we encounter a difficult teaching in God's word that we don't like, so we quit going to church and Bible study. Sometimes we're the kind of soil that lets the concerns of life or our desire for old worldly comforts come between us and the Word of God. We allow that to choke the Word from us. And sometimes, by the grace of God, we are that good soil that endures in love and good works. So this parable is a reminder that even as a believer in Jesus Christ, do not take your faith or God's Word for granted. As sinners, we're still every kind of soil. That's something to remember. So take this parable often as a warning to be on the lookout for the ways in which Jesus is trying, Satan is trying to snatch the Word of God from you. How does he keep you from God's Word? How does he stop your ears to the Word of God? Does he do that by keeping you away from church, by giving you all kinds of excuses? Does he do that by getting you to doubt the teachings of the Word of God or to follow false believers? False teachers or false teachings? Or does it get that by helping you, by making you think that, well, everything's okay, I really don't need Jesus? The parable also warns of being a fair weather Christian. You know, Jesus doesn't promise health and wealth. He promises strife and tribulation to those who follow him. But he also promises that those who endure, who are faithful unto death, he will give the crown of eternal life. And finally, this parable beckons you to keep your focus on that which is the true treasure in this world. Money and leisure and recreation, those are not true treasures. Like everything in this world, they will fade away. The true treasure is Jesus. He is the true riches, the riches that the devil cannot take from you. He is the true riches that will give you the richness of eternal life. He is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is the seed that changes the soil. Through the power of His Word, He comes to live in you. And by His Word and Spirit, He makes you the kind of people that produce that abundant crop for God the Father. And the bounty of this harvest is something that I see in you. As you support the preaching of the gospel here amongst your congregation as well as in this community, I see it in you as you speak of Christ with your friends and neighbors and family members. And as you sow the good seed of God's word among your own children, bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And as Satan attacks, like Luther says, where the God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. So here in the church is where he attacks the most fiercely, because here is where he is attacked the most fiercely. He will try to snatch that word from you. And if you try to resist the devil on your own, you will fail. But you do not stand against the devil alone. You stand in Christ and with Christ. He defeats the devil on the cross. And he defeats the devil every day in your lives. As you repent of your sins and you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and your Lord gives you the power to rejoice in His word forever and ever. What a great bounteous crop we will see on the day of judgment as God's people ascend to meet their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.